Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mass Singers, for that. I appreciate it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this journey you have us on in life. So often we find ourselves going. You find ourselves going in all sorts of directions or yearning for someone else's journey. But this is the one you've called us to for these people, for these times, even today, with that person that we're thinking about right now. So God, let us be with you now in worship, that we may recharge, that we may see again that joy you called us to at first, so that we can go forth from here, ready to take on whatever it is you've called us to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage in Mark opens up with some hard times. I think we just kind of gloss over it because we want to get to the call story. But it says, after John was put in prison, John lived a big life. John did a lot of things. We talked about John over Advent. But then he goes to prison. His story ends. And you'd expect this if you think about it. John calling in all sorts of crowds from all over Galilee and all over Jerusalem who are coming out to him. You can imagine the oppressive Roman government getting a little bit concerned. And about Herod worried about his place with what's going on. Because what happens is when you start building a crowd, the people in power get nervous. And so they try to cut it down. And so we shouldn't be surprised that John gets cut down. But this is hard times. Because it's not just that. Jesus is coming out of 40 days in the desert. 40 days away from everyone else, fasting during this time. Has anyone ever fasted for 40 days? 20? 7? 5? Anyone? We could keep going, right? It's hard to go without food. I mean, especially with the Super Bowl coming, you can imagine all the appetizers that you want to have heaped up, right? And so often we think that things are hard in our lives, and they are. The pandemic's been hard for many reasons. Loss, unemployment, loneliness. These are hard things. And I'm sure some of you have other matters. You feel disconnected. Maybe you don't think anyone cares about you anymore, or that school is unfair. These are hard times. These are hard things. But in this story is the story that always happens. If you go through the hard times and you wait expectantly, Jesus comes. After John went to prison, Jesus came. That's what it says. Came to Galilee and announced the good news. Good news comes. We are good news people. We are good news people. Good news came into our life and is coming into yours if you don't know Jesus. Good news that whatever you have been going through, you can see God's work in it. You can see God redeeming all things and that you can have new beginnings. Because there's this cycle in life. The cycle in life, just like the seasons of things growing and things maturing and things harvesting and things dying and things coming up again. Just like in this sanctuary, we hope the cold moves into warm again for next week. I appreciate you all coming through this. These cycles in life happen, but there's good news. There's always good news coming when we look to Jesus and we see what he is doing in these cycles. Because we're all on these different journeys. Today, for whatever reason, you chose to journey here. You chose to answer the call, to listen to a message, to be near God. I don't know what God is doing in your life. But we all have these journeys, and we see that, and we see these cycles, so we pack things alongside us. We start to carry things with us because we know there'll be lean years. Just like at the harvest time, we put food away for the winter so that we can make it through to spring and the early crops of summer. So also, we put things in our bags of life journeying through. Maybe for you, it's different survival techniques you've learned, how to have a conversation with somebody, or ways to navigate official systems. Or maybe for you, it's literally packing in food because you're so concerned about not having enough food. Or maybe it's phone numbers of people, relationships you've built that you carry with you, and you're like, I can get through life because I have these things. And they help us in this journey. And what I want to do today is talk a little bit about the tools that we have, about here at Central and in any church you ever go to. The call is that when you go there, you can be tooled for this grander journey that God has. That other people will come alongside you. Yes, today, wherever you're at, if there's things you're going through, you're in a bad news cycle, there is good news, and the people of Central will walk with you. Whether it's loneliness or misunderstandings, whether it's abuse or victimhood, whatever it is that you've been in, God calls us together on this journey. Unfortunately, for many of us, we get hijacked as we live through life. One of the things I've seen of late, and there's many of them, is so often we get hijacked by screens, right? We look at the bad news here, and then the same news station gives us the good news to keep us going back through a cycle that gets us away from our lives. We get glued in a virtual world whenever there's so many people in our lives around us that are calling for our attention on this journey. It may not be for you, but for some of us, that's the case. And so as we look at this story of Jesus calling the disciples, we see this cycle going. That Jesus came to Galilee. All right, he came to Galilee because the Via Maris, the main road that goes through all of Mesopotamia, went right alongside Capernaum. And so all sorts of people would have come there. And at this time, he says, the time has come. It is fulfilled. The time is ripe. I remember as a kid, I wanted to be Reggie Miller. Last night, Steph Curry passed him for the second most threes in the NBA. And I remember thinking, I'm going to be an NBA player. Let's just be honest, that time never came. Genetically, it was never in the cards. But also, it just wasn't for me. And sometimes we yearn for things in our journey that won't happen. But the time did come for the Messiah to reveal himself. The kingdom of God is near. The place where God reigns. If your life is a mess, if you go back and look at your planner for 2020, right? We don't always do so well ruling our own kingdoms. But when we can be full participants in God's eternal kingdom, there's a peace, there's a chance, there's a way. We just have to repent. We have to turn on our journey from where we decided we'd go with the tools we have and answer the call. Believe the good news that Jesus is calling us to something better. It's still true for us today, wherever we find us. On Mondays, we have a conversation about the commands of Jesus, and we've been talking about repenting, turning from things that keep us from God, following, which is one of the next ones, but another one is rejoicing. And it's good to remember, if you've ever felt that call and that love of God, you can remember that at any time and bring that joy into your life. Much like Anne Frank used to laugh in front of the mirror until she felt the joy go into her, if you're having a really bad day, just start dancing. Just start laughing. Just start rejoicing and praising. It's not because you're not sorrowful, but in doing so, you remember the joy that the good news has come. The kingdom is here. Jesus has saved. And whatever else is happening, we still have to get through, but we can have joy in the moment. There can be good news in this redeemed life. And so Jesus brings this incarnational presence into Galilee, and he comes across people fishing. Today it would be people driving or sitting at a desk or in the grocery store, wherever it would be. And he offers an invitation. It's not a command at first. It's this invitation to come and follow. That they have this choice to become fishers of men. This call still stands for us today, where we can have our deepest meaningful pursuits intersect with our deepest passions, where Jesus calls us and we can transform the world. But let us be clear, this call to be someone who leaves our job and go into this professional spreading of it is not the call for everyone. Otherwise, their father would have joined at the end of this, and the others in the boat. The call is not for everyone. We have different types of callings in our lives. Some of us called to go, some to stay. Some of us are called to preach the word. Some of us to just live that out wherever we go in conversations and build relationships. We all are part of the same body. And so we see this calling. I really appreciate the miniseries, The Chosen. Has anyone watched that? You can find it online. It's got its own app. You can get a DVD. I've got one if you'd be interested in borrowing it. But it's really neat how they portray those who come alongside the disciples, backing the disciples, but not being the ones who are on the road. Because the Messiah is still for them. But they have to do their part where they're at to get the disciples where they are. And so he calls Andrew and Simon. He calls James and John. And they leave. They leave their old tools. This is just like Elisha who went and burned his cart and slaughtered his oxen. He was not going back to the lifestyle was before the calling came. Though we may not all be called to burn the nets, so if you're an accountant, you don't just go burn your calculator and go. God may call us to something within that, but there are things we leave behind. From the moment we say yes to Jesus, we leave behind certain things. For some of us, it may be that K-12 survival way of life, where we have to sit with the cool kids to get by. Or maybe know that all the answers are in the back of the book for the tests. Or maybe thinking that we have to ace all the tests to be good. Because what happens as we live life, we pick up these survival techniques to get through life and to thrive. But not all of those tools will get us to where God is calling us. I, for one, love to be prepared. My kids are playing Zelda right now. And in Zelda, they go through the worlds and they gather different tools and different belongings so that they can get through the next level, being prepared for the next test. If you try to go to the next test before you go through the one before, you can't beat it because there's this accumulation of what's going on and they have them all in their pack. I like to live that way myself, working with the Forest Service and having everything you need for any sort of survival situation because I'm prepared. But there comes a time in life where I don't know what was for you, where you realize that maybe this pursuit of my excellence, of my studying to get A's, of my surviving in any situation, of my being prepared, got very lonely. Because if I'm the one that always has all the food, if I'm the one that has all the answers, how do I share it with the person walking with me? Think back at the beginning of the pandemic. What was your gut reaction when you saw only two things of toilet paper left on the shelf? Was it to grab it and run? Or to take one and leave one? Or to leave both, knowing you had enough at home. We all wrestle with that differently. But for me, it was seeing so many people who are homeless and broken in this world. And seeing that though I needed this because I wanted to go on this trip and I wanted to do these things, that I didn't need all of it. And I could let it go. That I could leave behind the tools that I had to carry me through to be successful by the world's definition and to answer Jesus' call. It's a lighter load because you trust that God will provide. But what so often happens is we're just like, I'm just gonna, just in case. Right? It's like, God calls us to go out and proclaim the good news and to go forth into this. But, you know, I'm just going to bring these other friends along who don't really believe. And I'm because it's really fun to play poker and to go do those things. And it's nothing wrong with doing that. But if God's calling us, why do we hold on? If God says, leave behind your provision in life and go, why do we reach back and say, God, you don't understand. There's a pandemic. I just need a little bit more money. I need a little bit more safety. I need a little bit more that I can control. Because you have to remember, for Andrew and Peter, that net, that was their life. Without it, how would they have a living? Without it, who were they? Their identity was stripped away. They were going from being known as fishermen in the community to being people who just followed this homeless rabbi. And later in life than other people. The reality is there's so many things in here that are useful and I can come back to. But to receive what God has, we sometimes have to let go. To receive the tools that God has for us for our journey, we have to let go of what was going on. To receive the world God has for us, we may have to drop allegiances in our heart and realize the way we perceive the world, if it does not conform to what God has called us, may be something that keeps us from the kingdom. Because the reality is, as a Christian people, God calls us to the margins. And often the reason we can't reach out to the margins is we're holding on to the tools and the resources that keep me and my tribe thriving. And sometimes we need to let go so we can be present. Because the reality, as we look at this world and the so-called mess people say it is here in 2021, as we in America have received a new president and inauguration, and there's a change of power, there's all sorts of words being spoken about what is wrong, about what will happen. And we can get caught up in that if our survival is we need to be allegiant to a tribe that's other than the church of God. Because I really believe that what Jesus offers us is the antidote to all the crazy in the world. That what we talked about last week, when we thought about being grounded in Scripture, reaching out into community to see where God is acting through his image bearers, knowing who God has been in Scripture, we can make the good confession about where we really stand, and we can talk to God about right now where we need to be. And to be in those moments, we often have to still repent of the ways in which we carried an old way of being with us and see that we can reconcile again and again with the people around us in our communities, that as we walk with one another in this journey called life, not just on Sundays, but on Mondays and Wednesday nights, that we can pass along this faith to the next generation. The reality is that I don't have it all figured out. Do any of you? But as we talked about last week, Philip didn't have it all figured out either, but he immediately went and told Nathanael because he knew that what he saw in Jesus was better than anything else he ever had, and that's what we are to do. We are to point to Jesus. We are to pass along this faith that others may know and this world may be transformed. When we think about what we talked about last week, the next steps, and this week, the tools, you may say, well, that one's not for me. And it may be true. The reality is sitting for an hour in Scripture may be so against who you are that that would be a form of torture. It's okay. Read a Bible verse and go forth and talk about it if you need to. Likewise, if journaling or sitting still and being introspective is not you, that's okay. We celebrate the ways God has called you forth and to talk about it and just trust that you can lean on one another because you have different strengths where you're at and God calls you through those to be fully the person you were created to be. Or as we read last week in Psalm 139, God knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you and called you long before you ever knew who you were. And he's got a plan for you. And so a few tools just briefly want to mention today are ways in which we are in this world for Jesus. And so one of them is feasting and fasting. Fasting is such an important aspect of our life. Going without those tools or those ways of being of which we think we need because of the way we've controlled ourselves. So I think eating's important. I enjoy eating. But I also try to weekly fast because I want to be able to say to God, yes, and not have anything keep me from that. And so it's good to fast in general for medical reasons. There's a lot of studies on this, but that's not why we fast. Yes, there may be a byproduct of health and weight and other things, but when you fast, you go without so that you can be with Jesus. We remember the words of John 4, where Jesus said, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. We remember the psalmist's cry in Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Can you testify to God sustaining you beyond what food ever can? Because a lot of times, when the world seems to be all in a ruckus and everybody else is wrong, it has a lot more with us being hangry and not dealing with the emotional toil we are as embodied souls. But we're not just to fast to go without to be with God. We are to feast in God's presence. We are to enjoy this world. If you're only fasting, you're missing it. If you're only feasting, you're missing it. It's recognizing we have this cycle that goes back. Many times Jesus sits down to feast. He asks us to feast. He asks us to break bread with one another. But when we do, we're to celebrate with joy the promises and to remember that whenever we feast, to not just build our tribe in the old way in which we gathered that helps us with the right relationships, but we are to feast in such a way that Jesus says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Because what God is saying, if you have this joy inside and you know who Jesus is, you don't need to just feast with your friends. You can share that joy and that new life and start the cycle over for someone else. A second one, reflecting and being present. So reflecting is an important thing to do, to capture what's going on so I can look over it. For some of you, that may be journaling. For others of you, that may be writing out your thoughts, which very similar to journaling. And that can be an extremely powerful way to look at what's going on, your prayers, and see in your own reflections the way God has shown up, because let's face it, we forget. We forget the good news of God's done in our life. We remember the bad things more readily. And so it's good to do. But for some of you, the thought of journaling every day makes you want to run. And that's okay. I remember when I was working with the Forest Service out in Montana, I had this epiphany. When you're in Montana, it's called Big Sky Country. And you can see these amazing vistas. And I kept trying to capture them in my camera. You can't fit it in. It's so frustrating. You have this amazing thing. You're like clicking. You're like, oh, but if I just, no, let's do a panorama. You can't get it in. And I realized that so often in my life, I'm always trying to get it in rather than being in the moment. And that sometimes it's better for me to set the camera aside and just be present and to live it and to enjoy it. I love the King James version of James that says, go to now. In other words, so often of most of our lives, we live in a lie that we can change the past. And so we ruminate and we reflect on a positive, but we also obsess. And then we think about in the future what we can control, but we can't. What we're going to plan to do and other things that so many people live their lives without ever living in the moment. And I believe Jesus calls us constantly to be here now so that we can enjoy and rejoice with him. So first, feasting and fasting. Second, being present and reflecting. Third, leaving and staying. Answering the call to Jesus means sometimes we have to go. Sometimes we have to leave like the disciples did, to drop the nets and to run forth. and to answer the call immediately. Sometimes that means leaving Richmond and answering a call to go serve somewhere in Indianapolis or Ohio or around the world. And it's beautiful to see that call, to have the support and central supports, those we've sent out and will send. But sometimes we're called to stay. You have to remember when Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to where the man was bound up in the tombs, he wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you need to stay. And if you turn the pages to Acts, you see that thousands came to know Jesus when they went back. Because sometimes the hardest calling in life is not to go to the other side of town and love those people, but to love your neighbors. As we said before, the ones who leave the trash cans out and park you in, the ones who let their dog go to the bathroom in your yard or never return a phone call, or maybe to love those in your house when they're in a state of rebellion. Sometimes we leave and sometimes we need to stay. Next is serving and being served. It is so important to serve other people, to be in a posture where you're willing to offer, to let go of your tools and to give those to other people. We see Jesus doing this again and again and again, bending down on the night before he is to be betrayed and killed and washing feet, serving other people even though he is the leader, and being in that posture of humility. But we also need to be willing to accept someone else's blessing. And Jesus does that with the nard of ointment that's wiped onto his feet, with others coming alongside, regardless of who offers it, recognizing the blessings for what they are. The next is silence in conversation. If we're in community, we need to be able to be ourselves in community. And often we're not silent enough to be ourselves. We just say the first thing that comes, regardless of whether it's who we are. And so we see Jesus almost every page getting away, but then being present to talk about it. Have any of you ever been in a room all alone in a crowd? Where you walk in and everyone's there, but you don't know if anyone sees you. You have to be able to deal with that in the silence. So that when you talk and you need to talk to share what you have, that love of Jesus, that you're able to do so freely. You're able to do so without it being about you, and you make it about the truths that God has called you to. And lastly, leading and being led. We need to lead others. The fact is, your words, your actions, the way you spend your money, how you spend your time, people are watching. You may not be in a positional leadership, but if you are in a family, you lead everyone around you. If you're in a group of friends, you lead the conversation at times. If you're in a community, your actions lead the community in a certain direction. And it is important to own that and to recognize you can do that for God's glory, but you also need to be led. We also have to get in the posture of Jesus at Gethsemane on his knees, not my will, but thy will be done. And be willing to go to the cross, if that's where we're called. The reality, these six tools are not the only ones we have. Feasting and fasting, being present and reflecting, leaving and staying, serving and being served, being silent and conversing, leading and being led. And the reality is each of you and your unique personalities will live that out differently as we wrestle through life, but there's more we learn on the way. Just like when we were playing Zelda, you learn them as you go, and sometimes you leave them behind when you're done, so that you can be wherever it is that God has you to be. It's not that the tools we picked up are all bad. Peter went back to fish at the end of the book. He's fishing when he sees Jesus on the shore. It's just he doesn't need to carry it with him anymore. And my prayer for each of you as you walk through life, as you figure out what your call to be fishers of men is, in whatever context you're in, that you realize what wherever you are, your life can matter on an eternal spectrum. Because God has put people in your life you can lead to this understanding. You can hone yourself on this journey with other people, and together we can see that shining shining shore. We can behold the glory of God, and we can see the shalom begin in our houses, in our neighborhoods, and throughout our towns. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your love and for your grace. We ask, Lord, that you be with us as we offer ourselves to you this week. We thank you for the abundance with which you have given us. Receive now back a portion of that in our lives, in our time, in our money, in our efforts, in our prayers, and in our witness. In Jesus' name, amen.